Blog Talk Radio.
Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by womenaboutbiz.com, empowering you with the tools and resources to start and grow your very own business. Hello, successful women. This is Trina Newby, your host and your business success coach, broadcasting to you live this Monday, November 21st, 2016, and as always, bringing you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your ideas a huge success. Well, it's Thanksgiving week, and I'm sure many of you are preparing your home for guests and getting ready to prepare a wonderful dinner. I'm excited also to be doing the same thing. I love cooking during the holiday season and welcoming family into my home. Later on in the show today, I'll be sharing with you my favorite holiday punch recipe. I've been doing this recipe for a very long time, maybe 20 plus years. And for the last 10 years, I've been sharing this recipe on the show every holiday season for Thanksgiving. And I have a lot of people emailing me saying, Trina, one more time, share your recipe this year. And so, of course, it has become a tradition to share this simple but delicious holiday punch recipe. So I'll be doing that later on in the show. So make sure you just get your notepad out to jot down this fun recipe. I want to thank all of you who have shared your enjoyment of this month's theme. Be grateful. As business women, there are so many reasons for us to be grateful, from our business connections to just the privilege of being in business and having a sound mind to think, to create, and to be. So I'm excited about today's discussion on blessing the lives of others. Now, on November 7th of this month, a couple of Mondays ago, we started off with talking about being grateful for being a woman of vision and how important that was. And then on November 14th, last Monday, we discussed being grateful for our customers and our clients. Today, again, we'll be talking about grateful for blessing the lives of other people and how important that is and what a privilege it is to be able to bless other people's lives. So stay tuned for that a little later on in the show. I have that important question for you. We've been talking all this quarter about being the driver of your success vehicle and how important that is. I know that I'm being the driver. I've got some decisions I've got to make as we've come to the end, towards the end of this year, and I need to be making some decisions about changes that I want to make, and I need to be making those changes swiftly. I have decisions that I need to be making of which direction I want to take Women About Biz for 2017. You have decisions that you have to make this year as well. And so, ladies, it is all about embracing our overall thing for 2016, which was taking charge, being in control, being the one that designs your success. What being the driver of your success vehicle is all about. Now, there are two ways to do this that you should be concerned with. Number one, it's going to be important for you to focus on your business goals. And then number two, make the necessary changes to move towards positive results. Now, come on, ladies, as you know, sometimes as women, we can be very stubborn, and we hang on to things that we really need to let go of. And we have a lot of baggage, a lot of excess baggage that we really don't need to be carrying on from month to month, and yet we do. Sometimes I think it's because out of habit, right? But then sometimes we care too much about what other people are thinking. We don't base our decision based on sound judgment. But we often think about, well, what is this person going to think about me? Or what are my clients going to think about me? But we need to back up and do what's best for us and do what's best for our businesses, because that is what's most important. So again, it's just that time to be that driver, always be the driver, and never be the passenger of your success vehicle, because after all, you birth the business, you get the opportunity to lead the business and take it to the direction you want it to go. I see that we've got quite a few people dialing into the show. Again, this is Trina Newby, and you're listening to No Other Than the Successful Woman Radio Show. We've got some other wonderful things coming up on the show today, so I want to quickly go over the show lineup with you. Of course, I'm going to give you those five questions to help you take control in 2016. And then also, our book club book of the month is How to Think Like a Millionaire. Now, I know we hear this phraseology a lot in our society today, because everybody wants to be successful. And so we use that term millionaire to really be the pivotal point, the ultimate in success when you have made $1 million. But this book is very surprising because it's really about the mindset that you need to have to take your life and your business to another level. The book is by Mark Fisher. He is also the author of The Instant Millionaire, and it's also by Mark Allen, author of Visionary Business. And so How to Think Like a Millionaire is really all about learning how to prepare and set up your mindset. And I think this is really a wonderful book for you to get yourself for this season as we move on into 2017, to just really help you set your, you know, set your mind path of the direction that you want to go for the new year. So we're going to be reading an excerpt from the book just a little bit, and we're going to be talking what your mindset should be. And we're going to delve into a little bit with the topic of failure with this book, because the author shares something that's very, very important that I think that you need to hear. Also, upcoming events, we've got a teleclass coming up in early December, Running Your Business Solo, and I'm really encouraging everybody to register for that teleclass. And then, of course, we just held, I think we held our last networking event for this year for our Business Women's Night Out, but we've got more networking events coming up on next year. Very, very excited about that. So stay tuned, ladies. Fasten your seatbelt, because we've got some wonderful things on the show today. We might be ending the show a little bit earlier today, maybe 45 minutes instead of our full hour. I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes. I know, you know, again, this is the holiday season. Many of you have taken this week off, and you're preparing your home and getting everything ready, right? Absolutely. I remember when I was a teenager in particular, my mother, we would be out of school. We would have the week of Thanksgiving off. And it was so funny. We would be planning what we wanted to do for that Thanksgiving week, you know, hanging out with friends, going to the movies, walking the mall. And my mother would be planning her own list, and she would have a list for me of things that I needed to do. And I am telling you, this list was so long that I often wondered, you know, am I going to get the opportunity to really have some fun also? But I think my mother wanted to engage me. She wanted to keep me busy. But at the same time, she really was into family, and she wanted me to participate with her. And I'm so grateful that I did, because I learned how to cook. I learned how to properly clean and keep a home, and I learned so much from my mom. Now, my mom is not here anymore, but I miss her so much around this time of year. As a matter of fact, the holiday season was her favorite time of the year, and she actually transitioned her life to the next life in December. And I thought, wow, what a mark that she made, because she left during her favorite time of the year. So I always think about her and all of the things that she had me to do as a kid. I remember I was responsible for a long time for chopping up all of the vegetables. And I used to have to cut up the onions, the green pepper, the celery, all of the things that she used to prepare for. And you know what? She had a great idea, which was she would have me to chop all of those things up like a couple of days before. All she had to do was to mix everything. So it really shortened the time. And you know what? I do that to this very day. I chop everything up. And I can remember some of my favorite holiday dishes. I love squash casserole. That's probably one of my all-time favorites. I also love stuffing, which again is one of my favorites. Now, it's interesting. I just saw something on Facebook where people were talking about which did you call it when you were growing up? Did you call it dressing or cornbread dressing, or did you call it stuffing? And it's interesting that they say almost all of the U.S. called it stuffing. I didn't start saying stuffing until I lived in California for a long period of time, and everybody was using that term, and so I called it stuffing. But from in the South, pretty much everybody calls it cornbread dressing. Anyway, I love that, you know, and I love homemade yeast rolls, one of my favorites. So all of those things that you get to eat during that holiday season. Now, one thing, ladies, that I have learned to do over the years is I have learned how to curtail my eating during the holiday season, because you can gain, seriously, you can gain easily 5 to 8 pounds. And if we're talking about like from, let's say, from the end of October through the end of December, or the beginning of the new year, you can gain 10 or 15 pounds if you allow yourself to just pig out and overeat. So I have learned how to do that. So what I do is I usually eat very, very light on Thanksgiving. I might have just a little bit of everything, but I try my best to kind of like pick and choose. Like if I'm going to have some cornbread dressing or stuffing, whichever you call it, I may not have a roll that day, you know, and the next day I may have a roll. So I try to spread it out and not to eat too much. The other thing that I do is I try to stay more active, get my behind down on that treadmill and walk off some of the calories that I've put in my body. And I think that's so very, very important. So walking is key, and drinking plenty of water. Very, very important. And I say these things because I know us as women, we will go to town on food. We love food. Food's a great conversation piece. And then sometimes, you know, for those of us that really like holiday food in particular, we have to really be careful about it, because again, it can make us gain a lot of weight. And I've had friends after the holiday season is over, they feel sick, they feel lethargic, they feel tired, and a lot of the times it's because they've been eating too much. So again, we want to watch that, right? Absolutely. A little bit later on in the show today, I'm going to be giving you my favorite holiday punch recipe, and I know that many of you have asked me to share that recipe on the show again. So I promise I won't forget. I will give you that recipe. And I'm also going to share with you some variations of that recipe today as well. So stay tuned for that. This is such a good time to go ahead and share the show with someone that you know who maybe they work full time and they're off this holiday season this week, or someone that you know that has wanted to start a business and they haven't gotten started yet, or they need support, encouragement. This is such a positive environment. I try to keep it all positive here at Successful Woman Radio, and this is where you come to get that dose of motivation, encouragement. You get information that you can put to use right away. And of course, as you know, we come on every single Monday, whether it's a holiday or not, at 12 noon Eastern. So make sure you put that in your calendar. If you're using Google Calendar, set it up as a recurring event so that it will automatically send you reminders to dial in to Successful Woman Radio. One of the things that I noticed this year a lot, and I don't know how many of you are noticing it, but on television, I have been seeing some wonderful commercials that are all about, well, it's about a particular product, whatever the company is, but it's about diversity. It's about unity. It's about togetherness. And I'm just so excited to see that. One commercial in particular has a biracial couple, a black woman and a white male, and it starts with them in the commercial being two little kids, maybe 5 or 6 years old. She comes down out of the house, runs down the hill and holds his hand, and they're walking, and then it flashes to them in junior high school, flashes to them in high school, then it flashes them in college, and they are still like great friends, and then it flashes them as husband and wife. And it is just such a beautiful thing. And then I've been seeing these commercials, and at first I thought, okay, that's great. But then I noticed that there are tons of commercials that are representing unity. And it is just so wonderful to see that. And I don't know, you know, if those commercials have a lot to do with what's happening politically today in America, in our society, with Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, now coming into office. I'm not sure, because, as you know, there's been a lot of unnecessary fear about people thinking that things are going to go back to the way they were with racism and that type of. There are more people in our society today in America that want unity, that want harmony amongst all ethnicities. And I think that these commercials that are coming out on television now, showing diversity, showing couples that are married, that are interracial couples, I really like that. And we need more of that. And so it's just been wonderful to actually see that. I saw another commercial just this morning where I think it was like one of the insurance companies. It was an older white couple, and they had a biracial granddaughter, and it was showing how they were loving her and taking her to the park to play, while it was, you know, providing that information about insurance. And so, again, you know, all of these commercials, I think, are helping us to have a better society, an accepting society, and that's what's going to help change our country and help change the world, is when we all accept that we all have an equal place here in this world, and that no one person is better than the other. And I think it's just a beautiful thing for us to really, really embrace that fact. It's 12:17 after the hour. You're listening to Successful Woman Radio, and I'm Trina Newby, your host and your business success coach. Well, ladies, we've got a lot going on over at Women About Biz, and we've got a teleclass coming up, Running Your Business Solo. Now, this teleclass is going to be coming up on Wednesday, December 7th at 12 noon Eastern. I'm going to be sharing with you, you know, the importance of the fact that even though you run your business solo, it doesn't mean that you are by yourself, right? And so I'm going to be talking a lot about how to get savvy with running your business, everything from a daily operations plan, a strategic plan, how to plan ahead of time, how to utilize the services of virtual assistants, setting milestones, and also depending on the cash flow to help you make better decisions and wise choices for your business. And so this is a teleclass that I think if you're wanting to take your business to the next level, if you are indeed a solopreneur, and you just kind of feel that you play a lot of roles in your business and you've got to get a little bit more clarity, get more organized, better structured, then this is definitely a teleclass that you will need to register for. So it's Running Your Business Solo, coming up on Wednesday, December 7th at 12 noon time. And I want to encourage all of you that are listening to register for this. And I also want to encourage you to share this particular teleclass with as many business women as you possibly can. I'll also be discussing in this teleclass leadership and how we as women need to stop being so much in that labor role and get ourselves more in the leadership role if we're ever to expect our businesses to grow to that next level. So again, it's Running Your Business Solo, coming up on Wednesday, December 7th at 12 noon Eastern time. And I'm encouraging everyone to register for this teleclass and to please share it with others that you know need to definitely move their business to the next level and need to structure their business better. It is 12:19 after the hour. You are listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show. I'm Trina Newby, your host and your business success coach. I'm so excited about this holiday season. And again, our theme all of this month is be grateful. And I did it not necessarily just because this is Thanksgiving and this is a time of year, month that we talk about being thankful, but I put a twist on it because I think we as businesswomen need to be grateful for many of the things that we have available to us for our business. And I think it's just so very, very important. You know, there's an article that is pretty much an evergreen article that I wrote. And you can, I'm going to put it on the front page on Women About Biz, but I want to talk about that right quick. And it's about don't take self-doubt into the new year, right? And so, of course, towards the end of every year, I'm always encouraging you as a businesswoman to strategize and take action on what it is that you want in your life and your business for the following year, okay? And so, you know, oftentimes as businesswomen, we can feel truly like we're in a time warp and that we're going around this vicious circle without really seeing the changes that we want to see in our lives and our business. And so I provided a solution for that. And so I mentioned in this article that self-doubt can steal your hope. It can wreak havoc on your self-esteem. And, you know, if you're experiencing any level of self-doubt, that it has to be replaced with five very important things. And so those five things are self-love, self-confidence, solutions to accomplish your goals, action items to support, and the willingness, and I repeat, the willingness to be held accountable. And so I'll be talking about this throughout the rest of this year, starting probably in December. I'll start talking about this particular article, Don't Take Self-Doubt Into the New Year. So coming up with that, you might want to go and read that, and I'll be breaking down self-love, self-confidence. I'll be breaking all of those things down coming up in December. Well, I want to go ahead right now and move right into the five take control questions. Every year, I come up with something different, an exercise, you might say, and I share it every single Monday for that year. And so this year in 2016, the theme is taking control in 2016, and I came up with five take control questions that I have been mentioning every single Monday, leading up until today, every single Monday. And so I will continue to do that throughout the end of this year. And so I want to go ahead and share these five take control questions. Now, you can ask these questions of yourself as often as you need to help you stay focused and gain clarity. Question number one, am I clear on my business goals this week? As you know, every single Sunday, you need to carve out that 1 hour of time, perhaps in the evening around that 7 or 8 o'clock time frame, and you really need to look at what goals is it that you want to accomplish by Friday. Then you need to back up to where you are on that Sunday and make sure that you have identified the necessary things to accomplish that. Now, moving on to question number two is just that. Have I identified the task necessary to accomplish my goals? You know, setting goals is very important, but goals would be nothing without those to-do items, those tasks, right? And so it's important for you that for every goal that you're wanting to accomplish, that you have the task outlined and ready to go that are going to help you to implement and get that goal accomplished. Here's number three. Am I being the leader of my business? Wow. This question is very, very important, and we all need to be concerned and ask ourselves the question, are we being the right type of leader for our business industry and for our business, right? Number four, am I following through on leads, opportunities, calls, and emails. Now, these four things, ladies, are very, very important, right? These are things that you need to be getting every single week, every day if possible. These are indicators that you're doing something right in your business when you get leads, opportunities, calls, and emails. Now, if you're not getting enough of them or if they are infrequent, then back to the drawing board you go, because you've got to have a better marketing plan. And by the way, I want to encourage all of you who are listening to the show today to make sure that you schedule a power talk with me. If you've never scheduled one, make sure you schedule a power talk with me. And quickly, how you actually do that is simply go to womenaboutbiz, that's BIZNZebra.com. And then once you get there, click on coaching in the top red menu bar. And from coaching, once you get on that page, all you need to do is look over in the right-hand column, and you'll see the text link schedule power talk. Click on that, and you will automatically see the information you need to schedule a free Power Talk coaching session with me. I'm very excited about giving Power Talk coaching sessions because it allows me to bless the lives of women who maybe are on budget, can't afford a coaching session, but really need one. And it also allows me the opportunity to display my talent, my wisdom, my knowledge for those who are thinking about connecting with a coach but want the experience of talking it out first. So definitely make sure that you schedule your free Power Talk coaching session, because we could talk about how to get more leads, opportunities, calls, and emails for your business. We could talk about perhaps better ways to market your business, or how to get started with creating a marketing plan for yourself, okay? And then last but not least in the five take control questions is, am I allowing the numbers to tell me the truth? Now, I have had a lot of women over this past few months and this year to tell me that this is a scary question for them, because I'll be the first to admit it. Sometimes when we think that our checking account doesn't have the amount of money that we want to have in there, we ignore it. We don't want to see what's in there, and yet it's important for us to stay on top of the numbers in our checking account, and we need to allow those numbers to encourage us, to motivate us, to jet set to a better plan, a better way of increasing those numbers. And nothing will shock you more than the numbers, right? There's another set of numbers that I'm also talking about, and that is the cash flow. Now, coming up in 2017, I am planning to have a series of cash flow teleclasses to show, actually they're going to be webinars to show businesswomen how to properly set up their cash flow analysis. I'm going to do a current cash flow analysis. Those of you who might need to use that as a temporary bookkeeping system until you figure out how you want to set up your bookkeeping. And then I'm going to do a projected cash flow to show you how you can use a projected cash flow in making better decisions for your business. Either way, the cash flow is a very powerful and free tool that you need to be using as a leader in your company to help you determine your sales goals, help you to make better choices, better decisions, to determine if you need to bring on new products or new services. There are so many uses of a cash flow, and I definitely want to share that with you. So there you have it, ladies, the five take control questions to help you get better clarity. You know, it's all about keeping focused on your goals and knowing the results you want to see. That's going to help you to get to the next level. So I hope that you, again, we'll use these five take control questions to give you that clarity, and not only to just give you clarity, but to take action on what it is that you need to be doing for a more successful business. 12:28 after the hour. For those of you that have tuned in, you're listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show. I'm your host and business success coach, Trina Newby. I want to just give a big shout out to Amaryllis Alexander, who was our guest, our featured guest on the show last Monday. And we talked about eliminating junk and focusing on what's really important. And she gave just some awesome information. And so, again, I want to give a big shout out and a big thank you to her for being a guest on the show last week. And if you would like to listen to that show, simply go to SuccessfulWomanRadio.com. Again, that's SuccessfulWomanRadio.com. And over in the right-hand column, all you need to do is to click on the play button there, and you will be able to hear the show from last Monday. And again, a big shout out and thank you to the declutter expert, Amaryllis Alexander, for just a wonderful interview. We're going to be bringing her back on the show in 2017. She's got a new book, I think, coming out in February on how to declutter the mindset. And so, again, we'll be bringing her back on the show. I want to go ahead right now and go right to one of my favorite books, How to Think Like a Millionaire by Mark Fisher. Excellent book. And I read last week about the type of mindset that you needed to have. And today, I want to look deeper into the subject of failure and what the author has to say about failure. So I'm going to start here. For those of you that have already gotten the book, I'm going to start here on page 33. I'm afraid of failure. He says, for those of you who are trying to prepare your mindset and think a lot about fear of failure, he says, we're born with two fears, falling and loud noises. All other fears are actually acquired. Unfortunately, the fear of failure is powerful and widespread, and it is paralyzing. Often deeply embedded within us, it results from past failures, from a lack of confidence bred unknowingly by our parents, and it's enforced by society's general negative, short-sighted thinking. The fear of failure is sometimes expressed overtly, but is most often unconscious and subtly disguised. People don't admit they're afraid of failing. Instead, they denigrate others for building castles in the air, and they scorn dreams and creative ideas. They're champion excuse makers, family obligations, problems, lack of time, lack of money. But wouldn't the family prefer a spouse or parent who is content with their work? Wouldn't time be better spent in creative expression? Wouldn't creating fulfillment resolve many problems? Then there are the if-only people. If only their boss would notice them. If only they could find a good idea. If only they had more talent, ability, time, money, or luck. If only they had been born in different circumstances or under another astrological sign. He says, obviously, if you never try anything, chances are you will never fail. But then you're not likely to succeed either. Success doesn't miraculously appear out of the blue. It's always the result of concrete action and a positive mental attitude. Thomas Edison, of course, he says, made 10,000 attempts before perfecting the incandescent light bulb. Abraham Lincoln lost 18 elections before becoming the President of the United States. We're not signing the praises of failure, but we know through experience that every personal defeat can be an education in and of itself, at least if it's accepted with an open mind. If you've been saying to yourself, all I've done is fail and I don't want it again, one underlying reason for many people's paralyzing fear of failure is that they have already failed or at least believe they were unsuccessful in the past. Each new setback reinforces this feeling and undermines their self-confidence. People start with one failure and see themselves as losers, and this in turn leads inevitably to more aborted attempts. These failures reinforce their loser mentality, and soon it becomes habitual. They end up believing that life is a series of hard knocks, defeats, struggles, and frustrations. Why have you failed until now? Maybe you wanted to, at least on some level, possibly subconsciously. If the success you've entitled to always slips through your fingers. Ask yourself why you've condemned yourself to mediocrity and reassure yourself that even the strongest, most powerful negative programming can be changed quickly and completely. Once you've examined it closely, you may be surprised at your inner resistance to success. You may be surprised at your negative inner monologue, which most people relentlessly repeat out of habit. Here's an important point to remember. Your mind is always working for your welfare. It just may be working for a long, outmoded goal. For instance, maybe your high energy or enthusiasm for something as a child brought harsh criticism from your parents or siblings. You very quickly learned to be quiet and restrained. But now, as an adult, there is no reason to remain unseen and unheard, yet no one told your subconscious mind. Look at it this way. Our failures should be seen as stepping stones that bring us closer to our goal. Our failures give us tremendous feedback. Isn't it true that with each perceived failure, we learn something of value? Failure is our way of learning and growing. In reality, there is no such thing as failure. It's just part of our education on the way to our inevitable, if we look at it that way. Your situation will not improve if you do nothing about it. Of course, this is obvious, right? But then why are so many people waiting for their big break or to win the lottery or for some other miracle? Most people live with the idea that everything will magically work out, and then comes disappointment. Success isn't handed to us on a silver platter. We have to take action. We have to challenge our old beliefs, and we have to risk failure. What do most people do when they need money? Some borrow and get deeper in debt. Others tighten their belts and adapt their needs to their meager income. Instead of challenging themselves and their world to fulfill their dreams, most people limit their dreams to their perceptions of the world's constraints. They have a passive wait-and-see attitude. Let's see if this miracle happens, and most often it doesn't. Our lives reflect our beliefs, the author says. Unlimited success comes from an unlimited belief system. To improve your financial situation, to track down a job, to get a raise in your salary, to double your income, to generate more revenue, to become fit and healthy, you have to passionately want to improve your life. You have to take action, adopt precise measures, and change your attitude. This has to become a fixed objective. This overriding desire is mandatory to create the life you want. Determination and will are all the strength you need, which is so very, very important. So many people honestly desire to improve their lives, but still fail in their attempts to become successful. The reason is that they have mistaken wishing for wanting. Wishful thinking is far more common than really wanting something. A wish is weak, changeable, and passive. It's not strong enough to overcome procrastination or other obstacles that may arise in the process of getting what we want. Really wanting something is a spur to action. It does not tolerate delays. It bypasses obstacles. It gives us wings to fly with. One day, a wise man was asked by a disciple what it took to obtain wisdom. The sage led the disciple to a river and plunged his head underwater. After a few seconds, his anxious follower began struggling, afraid he was going to drown, but the teacher continued to hold his head underwater. The student struggled even harder. Finally, the wise man let him go just before he would have drowned and asked him, "When your head was underwater, what did you want most?" He said, "To breathe," the frightened boy answered. Well, there you have it. That's exactly how much you want wisdom. Life gives you what you sincerely want. You will become as great as your dominant aspiration. James Allen wrote in his classic work, As You Think, if you cherish a vision, unlock the ideal in your heart, you will realize it. If you content yourself with mediocrity, this is what you will have. Since you are reading this book, you'll probably not completely satisfied with your situation. Something is intensely motivating about dissatisfaction. It fuels dreams. As we mentioned before, many successful people had difficult, impoverished childhood. They felt humiliated. Their desire to rise above poverty and low social status was so intense that it propelled them towards their dreams. And so again, ladies, I just read How to Think Like a Millionaire, and I want to encourage you with something, and that is, I want you to think about this. Are your beliefs supporting what you really want out of your life and your business? And I want you to write that down. Go ahead. Write that down right now. Are your beliefs supporting what you want from your life and your business? Because sometimes we want more, we want to make more money in our business. We want to have a more joyful life. We want to transition ourselves out of that 9-to-5 job, or we don't want to go back to that 9-to-5 job. But yet our beliefs are not supporting us strongly enough in order to do that. You ladies have heard me talk about the type of belief that's necessary, right? It's called unshakable faith, a level of belief so deeply rooted within you, within your gut, within your soul, within your inner being, that it compels you to take swift and immediate action and make the necessary changes to move your life and your business forward. And sometimes the beliefs that we have are not supportive of who we are now, today, and what we want for our future. And so I want you to really schedule some quiet time and ask yourself, are my beliefs really supporting who I am and what I want, or who I want to be in life and business? And if you say no, not all of them, so I have some deep-rooted habitual beliefs that are really wreaking havoc in my life. Well, then this is what you need to do. You need to stop, identify those beliefs, and start working to eliminate each and every one of them. Because as long as you have beliefs that is not working on your behalf, that's not factual, that is not really a realistic belief, it was something that you adopted, that you carried on from childhood or from teenage years or as a young adult, and or from an experience that you had, guess what? That belief is going to continue to wreak havoc, and it's going to continue to pull you away from the very things that you want in your life and in your business. So, ladies, you know, it's just time for us to get real up close and personal with ourselves and to really become the leaders that we need to be in order to drive our life and business to that next level. So if you haven't already, make sure that you go to Amazon, because I think it's one of the few places you'll be able to find this book, How to Think Like a Millionaire by Mark Fisher. And it's a very inexpensive book, and books that you'll want to go over with over and over again. If you are a coach or a consultant, it's a great book to use as a foundation for perhaps a book club or a class. Very, very good book. I really, really like it. It's 12:42 after the hour, and you are listening to No Other Than the Successful Woman Radio Show. And of course, I'm Trina Newby, your host and your business success coach, and I want to encourage you to make sure that you mark your calendar for every Monday at 12 noon Eastern time as I bring you motivation, inspiration, and information that you can put to use right away in your business. Well, I want to go ahead and I want to talk a little bit about our theme, you know, be grateful, and how important that theme really, really is. Today, we're gonna talk about grateful to bless the lives of others and how important that really, really is. You know, when we look at the word blessing, it really is all about giving to others. It's about unselfish giving. The dictionary defines blessing. It says, one definition says, God's favor and protection. right? Another definition says a prayer asking for God's favor and protection. And then it also says that blessing is the act or words of a person who blesses or the person who gives. And so blessing can be another word for giving as well. And so how do we give to others? How do we bless the lives of others? Well, I want to talk about it from a business perspective, okay? And there are different ways for us as businesswomen to bless the lives of other people. The first thing I think that we can do is we can bless the lives of other people with our talent, with our knowledge, with our know-how. And I think we have to have this in the front of our minds as businesswomen. One of the things I always say, and I'm making it now kind of like a daily question of myself, is who can I bless today? Who can I help? Who can I share with? Certainly as a businesswoman, that's what you should be asking yourself as well. And so that's one way to get the ball rolling on blessing the lives of others through your business. It's asking yourself, whose life can I bless today with my business? You know, who have I talked to about my business that I think really needs my business, but maybe I need to say something to them or to offer something to them, to give them an aha moment so they can experience my business firsthand. So how can you bless that person? I bless people with power talks. You know, I give a free power talk every year to each person that comes within my presence or requests it. And so it's just something that I have always done. And, you know, that blessing has come back around to me, pushed down, shaken together, always. And I continue to bless people with a free coaching session if they've never coached with me before. So how are you going to bless people with your business, with your talent, with your knowledge, with your know-how? So that's one way, right, that you can bless others. Another way that you can bless the lives of others is that you can become the great connector, right? You're going to meet a lot of people who tell you that they need services or that they need assistance with something. And so it's important for you from a networking perspective to have a system for keeping up with various people that you meet and the services they provide. But when someone you know is needing something, just don't be quiet about it, right? Because you're quenching your ability to bless. So you need to really make sure that you have a database already prepared of where you can share resources with others who are needing particular resources. Me, I have a database spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet, and when I try a service or meet people that really provide great needed services or have a product that I think is very valuable, I always database them because I know that I'm going to need to come back to that resource again. And so that Excel spreadsheet has blossomed into hundreds of names and phone numbers of people. Now, I always recommend that before you bless the life of another person with a resource, you always want to make sure that that resource is current and that you've talked with that individual as well. Another way to bless the life of a person is to also provide them with a tangible resource, right? It could be a book. It could be a article that you have printed off and you can hand to them. It could be a short written hand note to encourage or motivate them because they actually need it. That's very, very important. So blessing the lives of others from a business perspective, right, is something that you have to get used to. It's something that you have to give of yourself because it does require time. But when you're a leader, when you are a businesswoman, you should be all about the business of giving, all about the business of sharing resources, right? I say it and I'll say it again. People will often most remember you for what you have given them, for the blessings they have received from you, more so than they will remember you for the name of your business, right? But once you have blessed the lives of other people, it really does come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It comes back to you, and especially when you have done it, not that you're expecting anything bad, but you've done it from a place in your heart of authenticity, a place in your heart of sincerity, which is so very, very important. So if you've never written a blessings list before, I want to encourage you to create a running blessings list. Take out a tally, run a tally, and start, you know, just people that you meet that you want to bless their lives or bless their business with your talent, with your knowledge, with your abilities, and keep a running blessings list, which is so very, very important. And that will help you as you move forward with blessing the lives of other people. You know, it's really interesting. I always like to read Psychology Today. It's a really good journal, and I don't subscribe to it. I always go to their website, psychologytoday.com, but they have a lot of really good articles and statistics and information, and I just, you know, I'm all about learning the psyche and what makes people work, right? And so one of the things that I read in Psychology Today is that when they try to get people to move past their fears and they try to get past depression or what have you, oftentimes they get them to stop focusing on the problem and focus on other people, what they can do for other people. They see it and always worried about who we are and what kind of business that we have, for example. We will never be able to get ourselves out there and be in the blessing business. So I understand that. I understand how important it is to take the focus off of you, off of yourself, and put the focus on someone else. And of course, psychologists have been using that theory to help people cure themselves of depression, of stress, of fear. They've been using that for decades. And this is something in for us as businesswomen, if we're interested in being in the blessing business and helping others in feeling like, you know, in feeling like we're at the top of our joy, and that we're excited and passionate about what we do, then we won't always just stay seated and worry about how we're going to make the next dollar, about how the revenue is going to come in. Instead, we're going to take the grip and be the drivers of our success vehicle, right? We're going to purpose, we're going to plan, but we're also going to plan to be women who are in the blessing business. And when you're in the blessing business, you just don't stay seated. You go out there and you find customers to bless with your talent and your knowledge and your abilities. You find customers who are in need of your products, right? You find people whose lives need to be inspired and motivated by your own experiences, by your wisdom. You just don't stay seated. You don't stand still. You move forward, and that is what it's all about. You start having that unshakable faith, that unshakable belief in yourself that you have something that is worthy and valuable to share with others, and you move forward in doing so. And that is how you start blessing the lives of other people. You don't sit still. And I think that is the key to success, is not standing still. And not saying, woe is me. I didn't have that many customers or clients this year. Nobody listened to me. Nobody paid me attention. No, you need to get up and move and go forward and go out and reach out and reach the people and go out and bless the lives of other people. You see, again, it's when you bless, when you get in the blessing business, again, to appreciate and notice who you are. And so it's all about being unselfish, whether it's a networking event, whether you're out there going to a community event, whether you're talking with a customer or a client. It's all about being unselfish and always asking yourself that very pivotal question: who can I bless today? Whose lives can I change today? You put one foot in front of the other, ladies, and you keep moving and you keep going forward, and you will reach your goals faster than you ever have before because you just embraced being in the blessing business. How wonderful is that? And so I want to thank all of you, for all of you who have been listening to Successful Woman Radio. You're members of Women About Biz. You've been following me for months or for years. I want to thank you for what you have contributed to my life. I am so grateful for you. I'm grateful that you listen to my show. I'm grateful that you've attended my teleclasses. I'm grateful because of you, I continue to move forward to bless the lives of you and other women with good information that's so important. So again, I want to thank you for that. I want to also encourage all of you that this is such a good time of the year. We're running out of time for this year, but you really need to be focused on your business strategy for 2017. And I want to encourage you that if you have not already started putting pen to paper and figuring out what your strategy needs to be for 2017, you need to do so now. Now, at this period of time, I normally recommend that you plan for the year. But because 2017 is coming so far around, what I want you to do is I want you to list out in bullet point format all of the experiences that you would like to have for 2017. What are the experiences that you want to have financially? How do you want to market your business? What experiences do you want to have through social media? What experiences do you want to write any books? How much money? What's your sales goals for next year? I want you to write out all of the experiences that you want to have. Do you want to be on a television show, a radio show? Do you want to be featured in a magazine? Do you want your product? What is it that you want to experience for 2017? I want you to just put out all of those, right? And then those experiences that you have bullet pointed, try to be very concise, be direct, drill down, say exactly what you want. Don't just say, I need to make more money. That's not helping, right? What specific experience? Do I need to make $100,000 in 2017? Do I need to make $50,000 in 2017? What is it that I want? Those become your visions. And then for each of those visions, you'll have to create goals for each vision, and then you'll have to trickle down and also develop task or to-do items for each goal. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to bullet point and list all of the experiences, all of the visions that you want to have for 2017, and then I want you to prioritize the list. And once you prioritize the list, then I want you to take the top, let's say top 3 to 5 of those or how many you have, and decide which ones you're going to do for first quarter 2017, and that is where you need to start. So that's what you're going to pay closest attention to, is that first quarter 2017. Now, I've advised you to write out all of the experiences you want to have for the total year, but I want you to prioritize them and be concerned with first quarter 2017, which is so very, very important, okay? There's also an article that I want to encourage you to read that's located in the coaching section of our Women About Biz website. So when you go to womenaboutbiz.com and click on coaching in the top red menu bar, there's an article right there on the front page of the coaching channel that says developing your business strategy. I want you to read that article because it talks about the 3 reasons why strategic planning should be a priority. And so make sure you go to the website and read that. Well, we've come to the end of the show, and before you hang up that phone, I want to give you the recipe to my favorite holiday punch, right? So I'm going to call out the ingredients first. You need for each, it really makes a punch bowl full, okay? So the first thing is you need a punch bowl. So you're going to take a nice medium-sized punch. You are going to fill it up maybe halfway with crushed ice or, chunk ice. Then you're going to add 1 can of Dole pineapple juice. Stick with the brand, okay, because I found out that some of the generic brands don't taste quite the same. So 1 can of Dole pineapple juice, one bottle of Schweppes ginger ale. And if you can't find Schweppes ginger ale, try to use another name brand ginger ale. And I'm talking about a full liter bottle. And then you're going to add one can of frozen cranberry juice. Okay, and what I normally do is I take the cranberry juice out the night before and just let it de-thaw in the refrigerator. And then you're going to stir that up and add a half cup of sugar. Okay, now once you stir that up, you might want to taste it. You can add a little water to it if you feel like it's too sweet, but don't add too much water. Add like a fourth cup of water at a time to make sure that you don't dilute it down, because it's really good and the ice is going to water it down as well. So be careful there, right? So again, that's one can of Dole pineapple juice, large can, 1 liter of ginger ale, preferably Schweppes, 1 can of frozen cranberry juice, de-thawed, and half cup of sugar. You're going to pour that all over the crushed ice in your punch bowl and stir it briskly, right? And for some other options, you can add a can of fruit cocktail, which is very good, the fruit cocktail along with the juice, or you can open up a can of crushed pineapples and dump that in with maraschino cherries. That's very good. Another option would be to slice oranges and let them float on the top with, and then add a few cherries in there. And then if you'd like to add ginger, because some people like a strong ginger taste, if you want to add ginger, take fresh ginger and shave it and then soak it in like a fourth cup of hot water and then just dump all of that into the punch. So there are some variations to make. Like if you've got like 15 or more people coming to your home, I would have enough ingredients to like make 2 punch bowls full, because trust me, you're going to do that, because people will keep going back to that holiday punch. Well, ladies, again, happy Thanksgiving, and I want to say to you, your family, may your Thanksgiving be filled with happy moments, simple goodness, and gratitude. I love you. Have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. Bye-bye, everybody.